You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey there, this is episode 46 of Band Geek. On this episode, we do a recap of a gig that I did last week of a solo set I did opening for Eddie Money. So I know a lot of you on Facebook and Twitter told me, you know, it was too far to make it. So this is basically like you were there. And Andy Brandy and I do a little commentary on it. And we actually had a lot of fun. So I hope you like this one. Before we get started, I want to remind you about our Amazon link. This is what supports our show. Before you do your shopping on Amazon, there's one extra step that we'd ask you to please do. And that's go on www.riotcast.com/bandgeek. And at the top of the page, you'll see an Amazon banner. Just click this before you shop. And then once you check out, a small percentage of your purchase goes to supporting our show. And it doesn't cost you anything extra. And it's a huge help. Please continue to do so if you've been doing it. And if you haven't, please do this. It's very easy to do. It takes 2 seconds. Also, it helps when you comment and rate our show on Stitcher and iTunes or whatever you're listening to the podcast on. We also have a YouTube channel. That's www.youtube.com/bandgeekpodcast. And you can see all of our videos that we have. I think we have over 60 now, which is pretty crazy for a year's worth of work. Also, one more reminder, Band Geek Live, Katie's in Smithtown, New York, on July 19th. Smithtown's in Long Island, and we'll be doing our normal thing live in front of an audience. But we're going to talk about that more during this show. So here we go, Band Geek episode 46. Welcome to Band Geek. I'm Richie Castellano. Joining me today is Andy Ascalise.
Hello.
And Brandy Metaxas.
Hello.
A lot of people were asking me how my gig went opening for Eddie Money. So instead of me just dumping all this stuff on YouTube or on Facebook, I figured make you work for it. So yeah, so you have to listen to this podcast to hear how things went and to hear the clips. So we're going to play. I recorded the whole thing on my GoPro.
Nice.
But I want to tell Andy. Andy wasn't there.
I was not there.
Because he's a horrible fucking friend.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
I feel bad.
Actually, you have a good reason why you weren't there.
Okay.
What is it? Go.
I don't know. What is my reason?
Weren't you driving a truck back 7 hours from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't need to talk about that.
What? Okay.
Why not? You want to talk about that?
No, I don't need
to. Don't ask you about your business?
I don't need to say anything about that.
Well, all right, I'll talk about what I did. and then by the transitive property, people will know what you did. This weekend was really interesting. We had two Blue Oyster Cult gigs.
Two very cool gigs.
Yeah, and we were opening for Kansas. And we did these two, I guess...
Arenas.
Yeah, like sports complexes.
They were like sports.
Do you call those arenas? I thought they were a little small to be arenas.
Well, what do you consider an arena?
Madison Square Garden is arena, but I mean, it was big enough to be. I mean, it wasn't like I don't even know what they were. I guess they were like college arenas, maybe. I don't know.
It could.
What were they?
I guess so, like university, but they were like sports complexes.
Yeah, they were huge.
They were big, bigger than we've been playing lately. But so it was cool. And you know, I'm a big Kansas fan. But I didn't really get to hear them because the first night I had digestive duress, as they say on Big Bang Theory, during the show. And all I was interested in was getting back to the hotel as quickly and expediently as possible. Aww. After that first gig. And the second show, we had to, the day after, so we had a show on Friday and then the show on Saturday. And the show on Sunday, for the next day, Sunday, we had to wake up at, we had to leave the hotel at 4:30 in the morning, or 4:15 in the morning. And while the band had to go that early, the crew guys had to drive all of our gear back, and it was like a 7-hour drive from Pittsburgh. So that's what they were doing. But I'm glad I got to leave that early because I, you know, made my gig. At the Eddie Money gig, which was really cool because it was in Staten Island, which is where I live. There's this theater in St. George, and it's called the St. George Theater.
Original.
Yes.
It's clever.
It's a clever name. It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. But actually, one of the guys who's in charge of booking the talent there is the keyboard player of my dad's band.
Oh, okay.
Vin Innocente, who we should have on the show because he'll have some interesting stories. But Vin, I have to thank because he was responsible for the whole Staten Island musicians thing that happened at Snug Harbor.
Okay.
At Snug Harbor is a cultural center here in Staten Island. Yes, there is culture on Staten Island. We have a center for it.
So it's only there, though.
Yeah.
Nowhere else.
And actually, Snug Harbor, I'm going to go on a sidetrack here. Snug Harbor is really interesting because isn't it like sort of like an artist's retreat too? Like there are people who live there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they commission works. I worked there. That was my first job. I worked there when I was a teenager doing basically grunt work, but I was part of the production department.
Right. And they have a couple of venues there.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, they shoot Boardwalk Empire there.
There you go.
I think the City Hall are the steps of their music hall.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah, one of those buildings. Those
or the Great Hall or whatever they call it. Yeah, it's like this preserved sort of old, you know, early 1900s looking area. And it's beautiful. They have like botanical gardens there.
They have the Japanese garden.
Oh, they have the Chinese scholars garden.
Right.
I wanted to film a Tiger's Fang movie there so bad.
Why didn't you?
I tried because... Actually, all these stories are connected. This is great. I didn't even know I was going to have this much stuff to talk about today. This is awesome.
And you could even go back even further back. When we were in high school, we would have concerts there. Our school concerts wouldn't be in the school. That we would do like recitals and stuff in these like... there was an old church there. There was a big music hall theater place. And we would always have all these concerts
there. That's right. Yeah. And actually, Andy and I had our CD release party there.
We did.
For our prog rock album. And Bumblefoot was there. Wow, this is a crazy connected story.
Look at that.
Okay, wow. This is a good podcast.
Is this the best of?
I thought this was going to be a shitty podcast, but this is turning out to be really good.
And we did it in quad sound.
Ooh.
We did?
Yes.
Holy shit. How did we do that?
We had some like backing tracks, and we did all crazy panning stuff and everything.
Man, I was obsessed with quad.
Yeah.
And now I'm not
surround
obsessed with quad.
Surround sound.
Yeah. Wow. That was ambitious.
It was. And Graziano, of course, was in that band.
I have a recording of that night, but it's in stereo, so it's lost. It's for camcorder. Snug Harbor, I used to work, you know, doing sound for shows. The thing I remember most is in the summer, like, putting up tents.
I know where
you're
going.
Taking down tents, and that sucked. But, you know, doing sound for shows was good practice.
What was the summer?
The Harmony Street Fair.
There you go.
That's what you do. And we had to put up like 200 tents on this big lawn. Anyway, if you're ever in Staten Island and it's a nice day out, go to Snug Harbor. It's really pretty.
There's a children's museum there, too.
That's right. So
a lot of stuff.
Oh, so yeah. So Vin Innocente worked for Snug Harbor, and he did this whole island sounds thing. You know, it's not a Caribbean... It's not a steel drum exhibit.
That's what I thought.
Welcome to Island Sounds, man. We got the Richie Castellano guitar over here. Black and yellow stripes. Crazy man. But they did this Island Sounds thing talking about musicians who came from Staten Island. And they
Jamaica.
They had Vito Pacone of Vito Pacone of the Elegants. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's not very original. They had, what the hell's his name? Who, New York Dolls? What's that guy?
Johansson.
Yeah, yeah. David Johansson.
David Johansson.
I know him as Buster Poindexter from my childhood and Hot, Hot, Hot. But he was there. Vito Bratta from White Lion, he was there. Kasim had some stuff there. Ingrid Michaelson had some stuff there.
Vernon Reed had anything there?
I know Vernon's from Staten Island. I don't know if he had anything there. I'm assuming he did because I know Vin Innocente, who was doing it, was very thorough.
Right.
You know, so I had like, it was so funny, you know, my ugly.
Oh, Bumblefoot.
Oh, yeah. Ron Bumblefoot was had stuff there. But I had my black and yellow ugly guitar in a glass case in a museum. And I thought that I got a real kick out of that. There are pictures on my Facebook page if you want to see it. So, yeah, that's what Vin did. And actually, you know, they were like, oh, thank you so much for lending us your stuff to display. I said, well, you know how you could repay me? I do a kung fu movie series for fun as a hobby called Tiger's Fang. And we'd love to shoot in your Chinese scholar's garden instead of, like, you know, doing it in my backyard.
Right, right.
And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll work something out. I never heard back from them. I'm sure that they wouldn't want me and my friends, you know, doing dubbing and stuff like that at their nice scholar's garden. It's beautiful, though.
It is.
You've been there?
No.
So how do you know? You're a liar.
I felt like you really knew it was beautiful when you said that. Liar.
I've heard it's beautiful.
I've heard it's beautiful. I've seen pictures and
I heard the architecture there. They actually had a bunch of guys from China come over and rebuild it here.
Were they scholars?
They were. So, anyway, long story longer. Vin Innocente, who worked at Snug Harbor, left and then started working for the St. George Theater, which is this old school, restored, beautiful theater.
And they've been doing. Is it a landmark? Does it have landmark status?
I think it does. And that's. That's down in St. George, which is, if you've never been to Staten Island, is the part near the ferry. It's directly across the street from the ferry. And
Easy to get to.
Or it's or that part is also called Shaolin, if you listen to the Wu-Tang Clan. So he called me up and said, you know, we're doing an Eddie Money show. We need an opener. I know that you opened for Rick Springfield. Could you do that same thing again? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And also, he was responsible for booking Blue Oyster Cult, who's playing there on, I think, October 17th.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, we are. It's public now.
It's public. There you go.
So, yeah, if you're in the New York area, come to the St. George Theater on October 17th to see Blue Oyster Cult. What's the matter?
I heard a buzz.
That's all right. Okay, so let me talk you through the show. And
now,
what?
Real quick, Blue Oyster Cult has played on the same bill with Eddie Money. So you kind of already know
all the
him
when
and
I was
stuff.
Backstage like getting ready, all the guys came up to me and they said, "You look familiar." I was like, "Yeah, I play in Blue Oyster Cult." Oh yeah, that's where I know you. So I got home from this Pittsburgh run and I tried to sleep because I was really tired. And then because you and Phil were, you know, otherwise busy bringing the gear back, I had to get a substitute tech. Now, look, I could have done this by myself, this gig, but I figure if you're opening for a national act, you don't want to look like a schlub, you know, tuning right. your guitars on stage and stuff like that. I mean, I look like a schlub without that. So I'm trying to reduce the schlubbery as much as possible.
No, it's good to have a helping hand.
Yeah. So AJ, Paris Gondola, who works at my dad's store, has never teched before, and he was doing it, and he was almost as, you know, more nervous than I was. I was nervous. Now, I don't really get nervous, but it's just I'm really comfortable in a band setting.
Right.
I like playing with other people, you know? I mean, that might not be what you've heard. I might not express that by some of the stories that people have told about me on this particular program. But I do enjoy playing with other people. And I feel completely vulnerable in a solo setting.
Music is a team activity.
Yeah.
Usually.
So back when the Rick Springfield gig happened and they said, oh, can you do like a little acoustic thing? I was like, I don't do acoustic things. Now, it's not that I don't do that. I'll do that for a cocktail hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like a gig.
I also think that everyone thinks that, oh, you just pick up an acoustic and you play the same songs. But it's not. You almost have to like rearrange the songs. And it's not just picking up one instrument to make it acoustic. You have to like take some time and get it going.
I mean, if I'm doing a cocktail hour, I'm doing Well, it was just my imagination once again running away with me. Oh yeah, it was just right. My imagination.
What? Right, exactly, and now do acoustic Godzilla. See, it doesn't translate right away.
I kind of like it.
No, but what I'm saying is you have to rearrange the song.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do it, and I like playing acoustic guitar. Matter of fact, this is my new Martin I just bought.
Very nice.
Well, not just bought, but yeah, whatever. But I like doing acoustic gigs, but, like, my thing is not acoustic. Like, that's not... I'm not saying, like, I'm a well-known person, but, like, any, like, sort of visibility I have, like, on YouTube or with Blue Oyster Cult is playing electric guitar. So... I figured I told the people at the Rick Springfield gig, you know, is it okay if I play electric with a track? And they were okay with that. So on that first gig, I did a lot of the same stuff, but I knew the most important thing I had to do was, you know, I had to play one Blue Oyster Cult song, a few originals, and Bohemian Rhapsody, because that's the most popular thing I've done.
That's your hit song.
It's my hit. It's my hit. And that went really well. So let me take you through this gig. So we got there, we did the sound check. Everything went great. Sang in sound check. Everything felt awesome. It was perfect. AJ was great. The staff there at the St. George Theater, they were awesome. It was, remember Pat Scullin?
Yeah.
Our friend from high school? He was there.
Oh, okay.
Steve Goffin was the front of house guy, who you might know. And Joe... Why am I forgetting Joe's last name? The guy who does sound at the Cup in Staten Island. I'm sorry, Joe, if you're listening. I forgot your last name right now.
He doesn't know anyone's name. You're lucky he knows your name.
But anyway, so everything was fine. So the St. George Theater is old. The air conditioning system is old.
Uh-oh.
It was very, very hot.
Oh, no.
I stood outside, and that was the night of the storm. Right. I stood outside in the rain to cool off.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
It's so dramatic.
I'm trying to make a good story out of this. Amory says my stories get longer every time I tell them. So
it's empty.
That's
a good refill.
So we did a. So I, you know, we've since AJ never teched before, and. I had my head in a million different places. We didn't put any towels on stage.
Oh.
So that was a bit of a problem later on.
But AJ helps out like the recital and stuff, right?
So, yeah, but you know,
he knows how to be on stage.
You can move the mic, Brandy, if you can. Move the mic. It's fine.
Fun watching me like sneak by.
So I changed the setup a little bit from the Rick Springfield gig for this gig.
Okay.
The song I dropped was the Abbey Road medley.
Mm.
I had just done it at that point when I did the Rick Springfield
right.
thing. And I figured, oh, but and I thought that was going to have as many views as Bohemian Rhapsody, but it sort of like...
plateaued.
Yeah. So, and also it's weird because that Abbey Road medley has that drum solo in the middle of the...
Right. Well, you
and I just clapped my hands like Ozzy. You know what I mean? In the middle of that. So I...
yeah, like the first, like, there's a lot of piano and stuff. There's not that much guitar.
Right. So
there's the guitar solo, but it's...
I actually replaced that with Going Down.
Oh, nice.
From the podcast. So I had a backing. So I said, I was about to make a backing track for Going Down. I said, what's wrong with me? I got Bobby and Danny as a backing track. So I just went back to that podcast. I found it on my hard drive. I took out my vocal and my guitar, and I played
nice.
With myself. No, I played with I played with Bobby and Danny. So let me show you that.
That's very cool.
All right, so I'm going to play Andy right now. I'm going to show you, and I'm recording this so the listeners can hear this. Here is the beginning of my gig. I'm going to see if I can skip to where I actually go on stage. Here we go. All right. So this is a stage camera. It's going to sound like shit, whatever.
Money.
Who's the announcer?
Wayne Miller. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
In the unlikely event of an emergency. Please be advised that the use of flash photography of any form of recording device is
now, you used your pod, right?
Yeah. This? We'll talk about that after.
And now, please give a warm St. George Field welcome to this gentleman preparing for his October appearance here with Blue Oyster Cult, Staten Island's own.
That's like a game show and intro. All
right, so nice. I'm stepping on stage.
What's up, guys?
Casual.
Start off with a song by Freddie King.
Freddie the King.
Sounds pretty good.
Done. So that was going down. I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
So the setup I was using, glad you asked, is the reason I get these sort of gigs is because I'm an easy on off. You know what I mean? Like I have my little pod, which is one XLR out into the main PA system. Mm-hmm. My vocal mic, one XLR out.
You're running the pod mono.
Mono.
Okay.
A mono pod.
Mono pod,
so to speak.
And
mono mic.
Mono mic. And I have my iPad with these backing tracks on
stereo.
Stereo. So I'm four inputs, no amps to move, no drum sets to move. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm off the stage in 30 seconds.
Right.
With all my shit. And that's and when you're in an opener situation, the headliner really wants you to get the fuck off the stage as as quickly as possible. Yep. So that was that. So the GoPro sounds a little funny just because it was on stage with me.
So it's only getting a it's little getting bit of your monitor and that's
yeah. I mean, right now it sounds kind of boomy. When I mix this podcast, I'll try to clean off the low end a little bit.
Get a little slap from the
I mean, maybe theater. Someone has it a house recording, but so that was that.
Sounds good.
Anything else you want to talk about before I move on?
No.
Okay. Next song I did was a song that Andy and I wrote.
Oh.
Yes. Here we go. That went over big.
I do a weekly podcast called Band Geek on riotcast.com, and that track you just heard behind me was from one of our episodes.
Wait, you have a podcast?
And I'm based out with Danny Miranda. So, I'm going to do an original now. And this one I want to dedicate to my wife, Amber.
Hey, there's AJ.
Hey, AJ, I'm switching guitars. Let me pause here for a second just to explain what's happening. I did certain songs down a half step to preserve my voice. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do all of them down a half step, right. But our songs sounded fucked up in lower keys.
Okay.
So I for the originals, I played my purple regular guitar key. In standard, and I played the yellow guitar in drop. For the covers.
This is a song I wrote with my friend Andy Asulis, and it's called Love Songs.
Credit.
Nice. Thank you.
Sorry,
that didn't really go over very
no one cared about you, it's that Alex.
Little pedal glitch there.
That happens. And this is another song that we already had the backing track.
This is a great song, Andy. You wrote this part.
You wrote that part.
The lame part.
No, it's the part that brings it all together. You both wrote that part.
You guys are ridiculous.
I want to sing you love song. Okay, now I'm. You know when you watch
I feel
something?
Like you're looking at us. In that
when
pose.
You, yeah. Yeah, I paused it and I'm looking in, on the screen we're watching right now. I'm looking at Andy and Randy. But you know when you forget things and then you watch a performance and you remember what was going through your head?
Right.
At this point, I'm thinking, I probably put my pedal too far away from me. Because like I'm doing this like weird like ballet toe thing to touch my pedals and I couldn't reach it. And I was like, I should have probably put my pedal off to the side on this. So because I was having a very hard time changing the presets. But I had this cool preset I made that you'll like. I had like my ever since I got the pod, I've been trying to get everything done with four presets all the time.
Right.
Unless there's like specialty things like harmonies and stuff like that. But I basically have a clean like cheesetastic 80s chorus.
Right.
Like Def Leppard, Trevor Rabin chorus sound. Mm-hmm. I have the gritty Fender sound, like the Fender kind of breaking up a little bit.
Right.
With like, you know, and I'm able to turn on and off some tremolo, some in the middle there. And oh, everything has delay on it. And then I have like the Marshall like crunch like your meat
rhythm
and potatoes
guitar,
sort of sound.
Right.
And then I have my lead kill
melt face
sound. Right. On the melt face sound, I did something new.
Ooh.
Okay.
I added a button that I can press, and when I add that button, it goes through a fixed cue, like a fixed frequency wah. But you can blend it in the mix, so it's not 100%.
Like, so you could do like a Brian May, Boston.
A little bit of it, but you can mix in. It doesn't have to be like full on or full off like a real wah.
Nice.
So I had that on like 12%.
Just to get a little mid-range boost.
And like 30% chorus.
Talk about that.
What?
Talk about the method of, because this is something I stole from you, the method of instead of just using a volume boost for your lead sound to cut through the mix, you do a different EQ.
That's not my method. That's a method.
Right, but that's a method. But I saw that from you, and I've also done that.
Yeah, my
it seems to work very well.
My lead sound. When you play guitar, if anybody's ever looked at an EQ on a stereo system, when you play guitar, a lot of guitar players have the tendency to do the smiley face sort of EQ. Now, you might have done that with your stereo, like when you go into your car stereo, you have the bass and treble all the way up and the mid all the way down, because that sort of very scooped sound sounds really pleasing,
right?
You know, because you're taking out all that
the
mud.
Honkiness.
Yeah, and it sounds like it has this very like hi-fi sort of sound to it. And my rhythm sound is sort of like that. I take out some of the mids because I don't want to stick out. I'm trying to be part of the...
And your vocal,
yeah.
When you're singing, your vocal frequency is kind of in the middle.
Yeah, you leave a nice hole for your vocals. But, you know, it's sort of like a nice washy sort of thing. Like it'll blend in with the rest of the band and make it sound fatter. That's how I feel. But when it's time to play a solo, a lot of guys still like that sort of tone. They just make it louder. Well, the problem with that is even though you make it louder, because those middle frequencies aren't really there, it still sounds like a mess, and you're not going to hear yourself. The guitar is a mid-range instrument. It exists in the mid-range. So what I do is I'll boost a mid-range frequency, even if it sounds a little weird by itself, because it might get to sound like from like to that sort of like sound. And by itself, it's like, ugh. But once it's...
But with the drummer and a bass player...
Yeah, then all of a sudden, like, oh, okay, I hear my guitar. So what you're doing is you're bringing that, like, I guess fundamental pitch up, right, just so there's more of you. And you know, some amps are better at it than others. Like, for example, a Marshall, the mid-range knob is just another high-end knob.
Right.
Like, on Marshall, there's bass, which is, like, sort of low-mid.
Right.
You know, there's middle, which is high end, there's treble, which is
really
higher
high
end, and presence, which is pain. It's a pain knob.
Right, exactly.
And that's how a Marshall works. Actually, that's not true. The EQ on a Marshall, I find, works when the thing's at 10.
Yeah.
Like when a Marshall's pinned, that's when the EQ
I
works.
It also seems like depending upon where the presence is, that affects the mid and the treble.
Right.
Knobs.
And on a Mesa Boogie amp, the gain setting, I read this in the manual.
Mm-hmm.
The EQ changes depending on where your gain is set.
Ah.
So the amp will sound brighter if you have the gain lower.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of attenuates itself.
Yeah. But with this example here is I wanted that sort of choked, like Boston-y, Brian May sort of sound, Just sometimes, especially on the like
mid-range again.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I was pretty happy with that song.
So the idea is you boost the mid-range, or you just bring it up from cutting it.
And it cuts
through the mix, through the bass and drums and keyboards and other guitar players when you're playing a solo.
Right. So that's
instead of just making yourself louder.
Yeah, that's the philosophy behind that, and it sort of works. okay, so now... Now, the next song I did, because, you know, I've been in Blue Oyster Cult for a long time, so I've got to do a Blue Oyster Cult song. I love doing Blue Oyster Cult song, I get to play lead on it, which is kind of cool, and cop some of Buck's licks, so I like that. So here we go.
So as Wayne just said, Blue Oyster Cult is playing here in October, so who's coming to that?
They're not coming. No, they're coming.
For over 10 years now, I started on bass and then they moved me over to guitar and keyboards. So I gotta do a Blue Oyster Cult song. And this is one of my favorites.
Is that foot again going way too far?
Yeah.
This is down a half step.
Yeah. I could sing it in A, but why kill myself? Version of Donald Solo.
Thank you.
harmonic at the end.
All right, a couple things I want to say. I was very happy with that.
Yeah.
That sounded good. The pinch harmonics, when I'm nervous, my vibrato gets faster, and I do all pinch harmonics. So that's how you know when I'm nervous, folks. Aww. If you come see a Blue Oyster Cult show, aside from the flop sweat, which was starting to get me here, because I'm wearing a suit jacket and leather pants, and it's like a million degrees up there. But yeah, the pinch harmonics, also the Axis guitar,
it's designed for that.
It's sort of designed to do pinch harmonics. Yeah. So like, it's very easy to get on that because it's got that super like mid-rangey harmonic, you know, inducing pickups. So so I start doing a lot of pinch harmonics, and my vibrato gets very fast when I get nervous. But so far so good. I was very happy. And I want to talk about something really quick. I want to talk about the backing track.
Right.
For this. Because for Going Down, I had the podcast backing track. For our song, I had our tracks to make a backing track. This one I had to make from scratch. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I actually have that on my computer right now. I'm going to play it just for a sec, just so you can hear it without, you know, all the ambient sound and whatever. Where is it? Eddie Gig. Eddie! Eddie! hold on. Talking over this so you can't use it as a karaoke track.
Exactly.
You worked hard.
Copyright Blue Oyster Cult.
Band Geek Podcast.
Band Geek Podcast.
You've heard those things, right?
Yeah.
Where they throw that.
The watermark.
The watermark, yeah.
Those are
great. Riotcast.com.
Here's the harmonies.
Ben Geek. So, just to make sure.
The reason I'm playing that, that's the quickest I've ever recorded anything in my life. Because I've played this song on every instrument but drums. I programmed the drums. I played it with, actually from hearing it every right. freaking weekend for 10 years. I basically, like, I played the whole thing with my fingers on the keyboard. I knew the whole part. You know what I mean?
You played bass, you played guitar, you played keyboard.
One take. Everything. I never do things in one take.
You even sang each harmony part too.
I was done with this backing track in about a half hour. I wish every session could go like that.
And our this weekend you were playing it on your phone, the backing track, and Don commented and he said, "That sounds great."
He goes, "I think you do this more like the record than I do." So the other thing I wanted to comment on, I set up the set list so I could alternate guitars between every song, so I wouldn't have to tune. So while I gave AJ the E flat guitar and I was playing the E, he was tuning that, so I never had to tune.
So it seems like you're a diva changing guitars for every song, but there's a reason.
Yeah, because I'm a diva who wants to be in tune. Okay, so let me find where I was. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pause here for a second. This is where the problems began.
Right after he said his name.
No. I'm singing this next song.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I was thinking, like, I could either talk about the problems before this song starts or comment on it after. I'll just do it before. This one, If you've never heard this song, the next song I do is Girl Next Door, which is another one Andy and I wrote.
What did you do to Girl Next Door? It's my favorite.
You know that. I'm going to play. I'm going to show you.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get so.
No. It's good. Whoa. Stop. Shut up. Okay, sorry. Anyway. So you know that intro thing? Right?
Yep.
So I'm holding that out, right? And it sounds awesome.
Right.
But then I don't hear the every night. I could not hear the count in, so it just happened without me. I went. You sleepy inside me. So if you never heard the song, it sounds like I'm doing something cool, coming out on an odd, you know, bar. But it wasn't cool. It was a fucking mistake.
It was cool.
And it pained me.
No.
And I had to get my head back in the game after this mistake. But anyway, here's Girl Next Door.
AJ works at my father's music store. And sounds awesome music. 3 convenient locations. Richmond Avenue, Highland Boulevard, and Phoenix Studios on Arnico Road. So come on in and say hello to the friendly staff.
No.
All the stuff you see here, I purchased there. Did
you
do that?
Perfect.
Okay.
That's it.
Perfect.
How was that? Perfect.
I'm going to do another original song. This one is called Girl Next Door.
It's about Lane.
I heard that. Yes, he gets the mic.
You sleep beside me in these two walls and beaches.
Actually, if you take the lyrics, you don't really need to say every night.
Sure.
It might not be every night. To start it off with a statement, I sleep beside you. It's all good. Thank you.
You know, those songs are so much fun to play.
They are.
It's too bad we could never get a band to play them with us. No one wanted to play those songs with us.
I think we could get a band together.
You know what the thing is? We were trying to do it cheap. We were trying to just get a bass player and do backing tracks. Like, I mean, it's fun doing it with that, but like, I was thinking, like, these songs are fun to play. Wouldn't it be great if we had, like, a whole band of, like, you know, six people that can, like, sing background vocals, like, you know, keyboard players,
another guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. Bass. Yeah, like a guy with a hat playing percussion. With a tambourine and the cowbell, you know, the hat guy.
Maybe we should do an anniversary concert.
Well, it's
this year.
Yeah.
Is it this year?
Never mind. Actually, let's talk about something really quick while we're here. On July 19th, we're having our Band Geek anniversary concert.
That's right.
Our one-year anniversary Band Geek live podcast at Katie's in Smithtown, New York.
It's not going to be broadcast live.
No, because I don't know how to do that.
It's going to be recorded live.
And I guess we could Periscope it. You know what? Screw that. I don't want to Periscope it. Get your ass down here. And if you can't get there, you'll have to wait a week or two for me to put it up. That's all. It's got to be special for the people attending. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be like, oh, you're Periscoping it? Okay, then I'll just stay home. If you know,
right.
Where do you live? Oh, I live in Long Island. Right. Well, then you should come to the gig. Nah, I'm just going to watch on my computer. No, come to the show. And you know what? How about this? I'm going to leave some stuff exclusive
for
the people there. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that right now. So... Don't worry, Michelle K. Williams and John Johnston, I'll send you copies, our biggest Band Geek fans. But
you'll get the secret exclusive content that's been edited out.
Now, I'm a whore. I'll put everything up. Yeah. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
Don't worry. I've just called my own bluff. I've negotiated against myself. So for that show is shaping up really nicely. We have some... I don't want to say who the guests are yet,
They have been on this podcast.
Some of them have. Some of them have not.
Some of them have not.
Maybe. Ooh. Maybe. I'm working on people who have not been on.
So that can mean anything.
So they either have or have not.
President Obama.
Been on the Band Geek podcast.
May be coming on the show. No,
Jimmy Page or Poggy?
Or,
whatever, however
or
you pronounce
Kimmel
it.
Or Fallon.
There will be a Jimmy there.
A bag of donuts.
Jim the plumber?
Or Jimmy Knee Cricket? Someone's coming. The show is... What we're doing is... I wanted to do a regular gig because Andy, Danny, a drummer named Vinny, and myself would play the Red Lion like every other week a couple of years back.
It's a bar in the New York City.
Yeah.
The Village.
Yes. A hip happening bar, and we used to play there.
Bleecker Street.
I had a great time doing that gig, and it was great getting.
We are musicians. We do play out for people.
Well,
we don't just play in your basement.
Well, you know what, Brandy, you were at all those gigs.
Yes.
I'll let you describe it.
It was the best ever. I mean, like what I remember, because you know we drank a lot when we were there, so sometimes I don't remember the second set. but I was never the most drunk person there, and there are always drunk girls that were beside themselves with glee for every single song you played.
Play Wagon Wheel!
Except that those people who were never satisfied because they didn't hear Wagon Wheel.
I never heard Wagon Wheel until about a month ago.
I know, me too.
didn't we listen to it that night? No?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Supposedly awesome. Hootie did a Wagon Wheel and did a cover of it.
I think he still does.
Yeah.
No, I think that's his song, isn't it?
He didn't write it, though.
Oh, no? See, I don't know anything.
It's a cover.
That. Okay.
Wagon Wheel is Hootie's Bohemian Rhapsody. but the fun thing that I would do on the Red Lion gigs is I used to try to get girls up on stage,
mm-hmm.
To varying degrees of success. I was probably
not to sing,
just to dance around Danny Miranda, who would get nervous and shut down and get quiet or start yelling. All right, here's a good story. Sorry, Danny. Here's a good story. We're playing the Red Lion, and Amory came to see us, and Danny goes, "Why don't you get Amory up for a song?" Okay, Amory, come sing a song. And she was doing like Barracuda or like rock and roll or some Led Zeppelin, some rock thing.
Right.
So she's singing and she's killing it. All of a sudden, this you know, 20-something-year-old girl with the biggest boobs you've ever seen walks right in front of the stage and is, like, really digging Anne-Marie and is just, like, start dancing in front of Anne-Marie and jiggling around, right? And Anne-Marie's like, you know, this girl likes Anne-Marie's voice. Danny notices this girl comes up, and Danny's behind Anne-Marie because the stage is kind of small at the Red Line, and Danny goes up and actually pushes Anne-Marie to the side to get a better view of this girl. True fucking story. I said, did you just shove my wife? He goes, she was blocking my view. I think he was drunk at the time. Anyway.
Oh, Red Lion.
It's all forgiven. What happens at the Red Lion ends up on the podcast. So.
Well, also, the Red Lion was right around the corner from NYU. So, like, oh, right. Every NYU yeah. girl was there drunk.
So, we were going to just do a gig like that, but we're doing sort of a hybrid. We're doing a little bit of what we do on this show. Like, I'm not going to stop and teach everybody in the audience how to play a song.
Right, but it's going to be a regular gig.
Or
with,
will
with
you?
Some band geek
bits.
Fun stuff.
We're going to do some bits and some audience participation for sure. And Muff had an idea. Of course, Muff had this idea because this requires him to do no work. His idea was that we should bring back Band Geek Conquers and sort of start a poll for everybody to pick like what song they'd really like us to play at that gig. So, you know, start coming up with ideas, and if we see a specific song starts getting requested frequently, we'll consider doing it if it's plausible. You know, if it's a song that requires 25 people, we can't do it. If it's a song that's going to take 4 months to learn, I'll probably shy away from doing it. But we do have a very capable house band, which is John Michelli on drums.
I thought you weren't going to announce this.
No, I already did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John Michelli on... No, they're not a special guest. They're the house band.
Oh, right. Mm.
John Michelli on drums, Danny on bass, Danny Miranda. Andy's playing keyboard, but he'll probably switch off doing a bunch of different things, as he always does. I'm playing guitar. I think we're going to have Andy Graziano helping us on guitar. Oh, I'm not sure about that yet, but I'm pretty sure. Amory on vocals and Muff on kazoo and probably vocals. So that's the band. Anything that you could think
it's a killer
of.
Killer band.
It's a killer band. And Muff. Yeah. It's a killer band. No, sorry, Muff. No, Muff, you're great. You're the best kazoo saxophone player in the world.
Ever.
Yeah, ever. Really. You're untouched. So that's the group. It's going to be really cool. It's 8 o'clock, July 19th. Katie's in Smithtown, New York. That's on Long Island. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please come down if you're in the area. It's going to be a hoot. Okay. Moving back to the gig. So, the last song I did was Bohemian Rhapsody. Bless you, Andy.
Thank you.
The last song I did was Bohemian Rhapsody. I can't say I nailed it.
Oh. See what happens when I don't go?
It was good. It came out good.
Tuned to standard.
I did a down half step.
Okay.
But I think... Yeah, let me get my guitar out to do a little demonstration.
Demonstration?
Yes. I was just going to say that.
So, at the end of Girl Next Door, it modulates. I fell in love with the girl next door. She's all I need. She's all I live for. I fell in love like never before. That's really high for me.
What is that?
It's an A, right? A. I can sing an A, but I don't like to do too many of them,
right?
Now, I've been singing the whole set. So the problem I had in Bohemian Rhapsody, and the thing is, this wasn't a mistake. This was my voice failing. Like, this is not something I did. This is something that happened, you know? Mama! Instead of that happening, what happened was...
What's that? What note is that? That's
Mama. It's just a G.
It's a G.
But instead of that happening, this happened. Mama! Ooh!
Oh, no.
And it happened both fucking times.
Oh.
You know, Mama! Ooh! But for the record, I could sing that. It's Mama! If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. So anyway, But yeah, that happened.
So the second time you didn't try to go for like a Freddie Mercury ad lib.
I fucking should have, but I was thinking.
I can sing this.
I sang this at Soundcheck perfectly. There's nothing wrong. No, what I should have done was this. I should have went, you know, what's the? Too late, my time has come, send shivers down my spine. Too late. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. Gotta leave you all behind and face the truth. And what I should have done is, Mama, ooh. I just got really close to the microphone and sang false, but I was like, no, I could sing this. I got stubborn and mad at myself. Oh, I was like, no. I'm going to show that I could do this. And it happened twice. So that happened, and that rattled the fuck out of me. And you're going to hear by the amount of vibrato used on the following solo, but it was fine. Like, really, in a 6-minute song, having two glitched notes is not a huge deal.
In the beginning of the 6 minutes, too.
But I was pissed, because I don't like to make mistakes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like, but this wasn't a mistake! My fucking voice failed me from doing that, never before! You know, like, ugh! So I was pissed.
Wait, so why did that happen?
You wasted your voice singing stupid song.
It happened because my voice was tired.
It's because it was hot.
It was hot, and I was really nervous. It was sort of like a half fatigue thing and probably half a mental thing. Like, I was trying to relax. Amory gave me good vocal practice, because I've been practicing these songs for a month, and Amory was like, give 80%. She goes, don't give 100% because you'll lose your voice. So I was like trying to be like paced, but then the note just didn't come out. So anyway, I'm probably making a bigger deal about it.
I'm so sorry you are.
Yeah, but now you know to listen for it and scrutinize it, folks. So here you go. Without further pre-critique, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I want to thank Eddie Money for having me here today.
I don't know what it is, but the quality of the recording, that applause sounds like I'm watching PBS. Like, this is the Boston Pops on PBS. Maybe it's the theater.
Song, and it's a doozy. So, quick story. A few years back, I participated in the Queen Extravaganza competition, and I entered an online competition playing a Queen song, and they actually picked me to go out to L.A., to go play in front of Roger Taylor from Queen. And I'm a huge Queen fan, so this was a big deal for me. And long story short, I didn't get in. Anyway, so...
Is that a joke?
I was sort of rocked by the whole experience. So I went home after the whole thing was over, and I started to record my favorite song part by part, and I videotaped myself doing it. And I learned the piano part, which was very hard, the drum part, and guitars and vocals, and I layered it, and then I edited it together in a video, and I put it online, and so far it's up to over 1 million hits. And so if you go to YouTube and type in Richie Castellano Bohemian Rhapsody, you'll see that. And I'm going to attempt to do this with only one Richie today, instead of the 20 that are on the street. So, yeah, we have a special surprise. I cloned myself, folks. Anyway, so...
Cloning jokes. So it's good. That goes over.
That is my last song.
You know, I would have.
You guys are awesome. And also, because there's only one of you up here, feel free to sing your hearts out. I want to hear some Mamma Mia's from everybody.
You want some Mamma Mia's?
Mamma Mia, here we go.
Staten Island. You get some Mamma Mia's.
Yeah. Mamma Mia, that was a good song.
Life had just begun, but now I've got to go it all.
I like that. I like the Freddie Mercury live melody there. That's a nice melody. Didn't even notice.
Nobody noticed.
You're a professional.
Sounds like Katharine Hepburn's playing my guitar.
Terrible.
You sound wonderful, darling.
No, the GoPro clipped it off into two clips. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
Thanks, GoPro. Here you go.
Yeah, so I guess it wasn't. I guess when you're doing it, you feel it like, oh, what have I done?
I know.
What have
well,
I done?
Here,
but I guess it wasn't that bad. I'm an asshole.
I was gonna bring up 2 points.
Oh.
So you were using regular stage wedges, some
yes.
monitors, and you because with Blue Oyster Cult you usually use in-ear monitors.
Yeah, but I don't have this set down good enough. To not have that, like when you use in-ears, it takes away some sort of like presence of awareness of your surroundings.
Right.
So I don't.
You're in like a little bubble.
Yeah, I have the Blue Oyster Cult songs down so much that I could, like, and for example, when we do Joan Crawford and I have to play piano on it, I take an ear out because I need to feel the depth of where I am.
And but the thing is that when you're singing with the in-ear monitors, it sometimes helps you sing because it's like singing with headphones and you hear yourself. You don't have to push as much as you do when you're wearing when you're using stage monitors. Like you're kind of like pushing too much that you could kind of like pull back a little bit because you hear yourself better.
Yeah, I don't think I could have done that gig with in-ears though. I think it would have been too disorienting. You know what I mean? And I just But it would have felt weird.
I also applaud you for the solo gig is nervous.
Yeah.
I mean the like you said, the idea, you know, with playing with other people, it's a team activity, and there's a lot of people on the stage. Even if there's like only three people on the stage playing,
people can carry the weight for you.
And you know, people are looking at that person. People are looking at that person. You don't feel everyone's eyes on you.
Yeah.
But when you're just standing there by yourself, every single person's looking at you. So I applaud you for doing that.
You know, I started at 7 o'clock and I had to do a 25-minute set. And everybody was like, "You're looking forward to it?" I was like, "I'm looking forward to 7:30. Because I love playing, but this...
It's a totally different thing.
This is a totally different thing. This is like, you know, when I play a gig with you doing prog rock songs or Red Line gig, like pop songs, or a Blue Oyster Cult gig, or even like a cocktail hour or a wedding, like it's a different thing. Like a cocktail hour I can even do solo because you're background music. But this, like, it's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And I applaud people that do it normally and enjoy this.
Like solo artists.
I enjoy it. Yeah, no, I'm not conveying this properly. I enjoy it. It's just it's high stakes. It's a high pressure situation.
Yeah, definitely.
If you notice,
even if you're playing in front of 30,000 people with Blue Oyster Cult or something, you know, it's different. It's and group activity.
If you notice at the end here, I sort of did the Paul Rogers ending. Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Instead of going, nothing really matters. Instead of trying to sing it like Freddie, I did
you're bluesy.
I had to. I was like, I don't know what's gonna come out of. I was so lost my confidence in my voice at that point. I was like, I don't know what's gonna come out. So I just did it like the Paul Rogers version. Although I saw him do this with Queen, and that's how he sang it, and it was really great.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
No, I think that was a great set. I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry I missed it.
It's
I'm
okay.
I'm glad I get to saw it now.
Yeah. No, I figured that would be cool because like I know you'd want to see it and we get to talk about it and make a podcast out of it. Then we played and Eddie Money came on and they were just phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, that band is monstrous. You know, especially that guitar player. I was very, very impressed by him. He had like an amazing sound. Everything he played was ripping. So Eddie was great, and I would like to just thank Eddie Money for allowing me to open for him, and Vin Innocente and the folks at the St. George Theater for giving me this opportunity to play a set like this in my hometown. And as nerve-wracking as this is, I can't wait to do another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like this sort of thing, and I want to do more because that's how you get comfortable doing stuff like this, you know. That I feel like was that's a problem with a lot of bands, like, you don't play enough because there's not enough opportunities to play, and you don't get better. But where you really get better is when you're on stage playing.
Not when you're in the rehearsal room.
Yeah, the rehearsal room is like a safety net. But when you have to play without a safety net every night, that's when you really get better. And a lot of my students would ask me that, you know, how do I get better faster? I said, well, first of all, find some other people to play with. That's the first step. And then when you go out and play and you have the terror to motivate you, that you get better real fast. And yeah, so I haven't really listened to this yet since I did it, but now that I listen to it, I'm pleased with the way it came out.
Yeah,
you know,
sounded great.
Warts and all, you know. I don't know what video. I'll probably release a few videos, not all of them, because I want to have some reason to listen to the podcast. You know.
No, it sounds great.
But that's it. And yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to Band Geek. This has been the Eddie Money solo set
recap.
Recap.
Which is sort of cool. With me today was Brandy Metaxas.
Woo.
Oh, I have to clap for you. Woo. Brandy's a clapper, so I have to clap for her. Yeah, Brandy! Woo! Andy Escalise.
Thank you.
I'm Richie Castellano.
Woo!
Thanks for listening.